Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. And let us see if I can find a good one. Here's one. This one comes in from Rich, who asks, what? Oh, Benny's in my ear. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to me, Benny. You threw me off.
Dick shot.
Who asks, Mark, should we be encouraged as Nuggets fans that the NBA's Final Four includes three small market teams or mid-market teams? Yeah, you got Atlanta and Milwaukee, Clippers and Phoenix. Oh, to be a fly in the wall in Adam Silver's office if it ends up being Phoenix and Atlanta in the NBA Finals.
And you know, the ratings are just horrendous. I think
it'd be horrendous.
They're going to be horrendous.
And the thing is, it could be great basketball.
Yeah.
But you know how the TV game works. That could be a captivating, exciting, great series that nobody watches.
Right. I mean, how hard were they rooting for Brooklyn?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Just root hard for Brooklyn. I think they'd already given up on the West. It's just like,
right.
Ain't nothing we can do here.
LeBron's gone.
Yeah. Ain't nothing we can do here.
Kawhi's out.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think it is one of those things where I think it's both the juxtaposition of pure excitement and also what might have been. What might have been if Jamal Murray was actually healthy, because maybe, and it does look like the Suns are going to win it's premature. What do they have? 1-0,
yeah.
But the Suns.
For them to win like that without Chris Paul?
Yeah.
They'll get him back soon.
So, yeah, huge win for them. So I think there is. I think there's some excitement about, hey, man, why not us? It could be us.
Right.
And especially Murray comes back completely healthy. The Joker plays the way the Joker always plays. You know, the development of Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Junior Porter.
Yeah,
I mean, he's tall.
He is tall. There's a lot to be excited about.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I think this does help for the overall excitement level. Although, like I said, there is that what might have been had Murray been able to stay healthy.
Sure, but it is. I think it's a good reminder that hey, you don't necessarily have to build a super team. You don't necessarily have to be in one of those sexy NBA markets in order to be able to compete. This is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Phoenix can do it, if Atlanta can do it. I mean, Atlanta was terrible at the start of the season. Fired their coach. Didn't get along with Trae Young. Phoenix won 18 games 2 years ago. So, no, hey, this is great. This is good news. Okay. Back to this whole, we're getting a lot of text on this. I want to get to some more of these. So, at what point, how much of the criticism that could be thrown at George Payton for not drafting Justin Fields or Mac Jones is being held back in reserve because folks are willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that the ultimate plan is to get Rodgers or Watson?
Well,
if he lands one of those two,
yeah,
then all is forgiven. But heaven forbid, hell will have hath no fury. Like Broncos fans, you didn't take Fields, you didn't take Jones, and you don't get Rodgers, you don't get Watson.
Mm-hmm.
That was your plan? Then I think you're going to see it all get unleashed. I think there's a bit of a holdback right now because we're like, all right,
we'll see what happens.
Well, let's see what you do here before we render complete judgment.
Well, I don't think there's any question, Mike, that the average Bronco fan doesn't believe that Drew Lock is going to suddenly get better. And And I understand the criticism. I understand the lack of believability and all those things. And it's not like you brought in an accomplished veteran. It's not that he's not accomplished. It's that, you know, he's overcome an injury. You listen to the people at Carolina, people here in Denver, you hear them talk about his understanding of the offense, what a great leader he is. That's one of the things that the Carolina Panthers were effusive in their praise for Teddy's leadership and the way guys gravitate to him and, you know, the way the guys respond to him because of the injury and the overcoming of everything. And so he has all that, but still you didn't want him in Carolina to the point where you're paying $7 million of his salary. And so, you know, obviously that's got to be not the leadership aspect. It's got to be performance aspect. Like they believe, hey, we were better. Even with the injury to Christian McCaffrey, we were better than what we were able to produce on the football field offensively. And so I understand that people aren't real excited here in Denver about the prospects of a Teddy Bridgewater-led offense or a Drew Lock.
Carolina would rather have Sam Darnold.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That forget. People are like, how can we feel excited about Bridgewater when the Panthers paid him $7 million to go away? I look even a different way. How much should I be excited about Bridgewater when they would rather go with Sam Darnold?
Who's struggling.
Unqualified bust. I mean, at least Bridgewater had that run of success in New Orleans that made you think.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a reason why he got the big contract. If the Broncos had signed Teddy Bridgewater fresh off what he did in New Orleans, I think people would be stoked for the idea of having Bridgewater here. So.
Yeah, especially with what they had to that point. Yeah, I mean, it's how much would Carolina pay me to stay away, you think?
Hey, you?
Yeah, I mean, if they're paying Teddy Bridgewater $7 million to go away, how much would they pay me to leave? I would just like them to, I'd like to get on the, I'd like some mailbox money from Carolina. But I promise not to swing by on occasion.
That's right. Listen, Fox will offer me a Carolina game and I'll turn it down.
I'll turn it down and say, I have a contract with Carolina that keeps me away
That's
from
right.
Carolina.
That's right. Whenever Carolina pops up, I prefer Detroit, please.
Yes. I'll take any game on the schedule other than the Carolina game.
You guys are proving to be the bad take basketball kings because all the super teams are dead. It's never been more intriguing to be a basketball fan. All right. Well, we'll see what the... I hope you're right. I think it would be tremendously refreshing if, let's say, it's Phoenix and Atlanta, and it puts up a better number than the Lakers did last year. Well, I mean, I guess maybe the bubble is kind of weird. But maybe, all right, pre-pandemic NBA Finals numbers, where you had Golden State and, you know, big shiny teams like that.
Yeah,
if they put up a higher number or a similar number or close to that number, then you know what? 616, you'll have a leg to stand on. That would be a good sign that people are still tuning in, even though it's not,
right,
you know, the big market, big super, you know, sexy programs.
It's not that you and I aren't excited about mid-level markets having success. And, you know, the Suns are fun to watch, Mike.
The Suns
are a blast to watch.
I honestly hadn't followed the Suns that closely. Watching them during the Nuggets series, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This team is young, energetic, hungry, fun
to
watch.
And then watching Trae Young play basketball.
Sure.
Trae Young is, the Hawks are fun to watch.
And watching the Nets go down, God, what a despicable team. I mean, really, just
right.
The whole idea.
You blew it!
It wasn't just the idea that they manipulated a, you know, super team, but it had such really unlikable figures in Kyrie, Harden, and Durant. What an easy team. At least it was for me. I don't know about
easy
other
team to root against.
Easy team to root against. Oh, man, I very rarely does a team come along that I have zero rooting interest in, and thus I really don't care if they win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, Brooklyn quickly, like, climbed into, like, Duke echelon.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just total like, blue blood.
Just
you know?
Like, oh, man, I'm going to relish watching these guys lose.
Right. I say. Yeah, you just snobbish. So it's not that we're not excited about, like, where the NBA is right now and the teams that are playing. We're just talking about the television ratings, and television executives have got to be beside themselves because I, as a basketball fan, of course you're excited about, like you're excited about, like I said, watching Trae Young, watching the Suns, what the Suns are. I'm excited about that. But the bottom line is I've got to believe that the ratings are going to be maybe whoever gets in are going to be all time low ratings for NBA finals.
Here is a bonus question mark. Mark, why do you think Elway has very little to do with the Broncos' current front office? They're still doing the same things, even if it's just for a third year of Elway's plan. Defense, make another no-fly zone, have a strong edge. Offense, Drew freaking Locke, a pile of wide receivers in the same tired O-line. Coach, Sanford and Son, yes, man, prone to tactical blunders. By the way, good use of the Sanford and Son in there.
Yes.
We appreciate that. Big fan, Jack. I can just picture Vic. He's got his utility belt on. That, like, extra, extra, extra large gray sweatshirt.
Oh.
This is the perfect song for him.
How many timeouts do you think he has in his utility belt?
Woo!
I mean, he's been saving them
up. What do
you
think he's doing with those timeouts right now? You know, he saved them.
Yeah.
What do you think he's doing with them? What does one do with all the timeouts that you've saved during a season?
Put them on your, like, put them in your office, on your shelf.
That's right.
But that would actually be a funny gag gift. They actually give him,
right?
Like a timeout, not even a plaque. It just says T.O. on it.
That's right. That's right.
T.O. And then it just sits on your shelf.
What's this? Oh, a Father's Day gift from Flareth and Evans. What could this be?
Could this be?
Oh, look, it's all my used timeouts.
The timeout.
Certificates.
Right.
To be used at your choice. Ah. No, you cannot use them. You cannot save them. Use them.
Like Peter LaFleur's, like little gift cards, right? Good for
cram
one
it up
free,
your cram hole in the floor.
Good for one free back rub, you know, like a little coupon book, timeout book. I just don't think that. Is Elway still involved? Yeah. Do I think Elway's calling the shot? No. I don't. I think George Payton has called these shots. George Payton has constructed this team. That's what he's tasked with. That's what he's doing. These are the things that he believes in. And I think it's very similar. If you look, I mean, if you look at the history of the Vikings and what they've done there, you know, second round back, you look at the DBs, they're big first round DB corner people. You know, I mean, that's what they've done. So.
The Broncos have done what I've heard coming from George Payton is perfect. They've shown a lot of respect for Elway. They've, I think, included him as a sounding board, certainly getting his opinion, making him feel involved. Sure. But if you think George Payton, who has been pursued heavily by other teams to be a GM, chose the Broncos after all those opportunities that he passed on just to come here and answer John Elway. Come on, that doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
He came here with the understanding it's your show to run.
Yeah.
So will he?
I'm not John Elway.
Will he take his input? Will he get his opinion? Sure. Will he then go out and make up his own mind, his own decision? Yes.
Agreed. I think that's exactly where you're at.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Now, I think there are a lot of people out there that have a difference of opinion than I do. I think a lot of people believe that this roster didn't need to be improved. that this roster was really good and that all they need is Justin Fields. You know, if we had Justin Fields, then we're a Super Bowl contender or a playoff contender. And, you know, we always talk about follow the money or follow, read the tea leaves or whatever. What this offseason told you is a talent evaluator who's had a lot of success evaluating talent over the course of a 14-year career with the Minnesota Vikings looked at this roster and said, what? It's not good enough. I got to continue to build it. We're not a draft pick away from all of a sudden contending. And by the way, if we don't build the team and we draft that guy at 9 and that guy gets shell-shocked by being around a team that can't compete within the division, how long do we have that guy for? How long does that guy become our guy? At what point were we, pushing him over to Carolina? What point are we, giving him the Sam Darnold treatment and then drafting the next guy? That's not a recipe for long-term success. It's not a recipe for long-term dominance within your division. So I respect the fact that by reading the tea leaves, I can look at him and say, this guy, thoroughly evaluated this roster as it was currently constructed and said, guys, we're not good enough. We can't be in the quarterback, draft a quarterback, any quarterback, because he'll save us. That's not what's going to save us.
Well, plus, if I'm Peyton, again, and throughout this whole offseason, especially in regards to how he's handled the quarterback position, I've tried to kind of put myself in his shoes. And the way I would look at it if I was him is, okay, I got a team that's needs a lot of holes to fill. I'm a scout. I'm an evaluator. I'm going to go with the guys that I have rated the highest. And in regards to the quarterback position, I'm going to take the long view on this. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to sit back and here's what I'm going to do. Again, armed with a 6-year deal. I'll take a shot. I'll give Drew Lock one more shot, to see if he can make the jump. I probably don't think he's going to, but I'll give him that shot because if it does pan out, then we're set. But in the meantime, I see where the direction is going, where the tea leaves are reading here. We got veteran quarterbacks who are acting more and more emboldened, more and more want to be able to control their own fate. I got two highly regarded quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson that my intel tells me would love to play here. I'm going to sit back and wait and see how that all plays out. I also know that Russell Wilson isn't extremely happy. If things go sideways or if it's an average year in Seattle this year, Russell Wilson could be available. I want to leave myself open for
Mr. Unlimited
that possibility. And you know what? If everything doesn't work out, Locke doesn't make the jump, Bridgewater doesn't have anything left, Rodgers stays in Green Bay, Deshaun Watson ends up in a whole lot of trouble and is suspended by the NFL, and Russell Wilson finds renewed happiness in Seattle. Guess what? Guess what's going to be in the draft next year? 4 or 5 more can't miss quarterback prospects that if I want, I can go after one of them. There will be another Justin Fields in next year's draft. There'll be another Mac Jones. There'll be another Zach Wilson in next year's draft. Count on it. So that's how I view how he looks at the quarterback position. Make sense?
Makes perfect sense. I think the other thing is, if you look at, and I've done this several times in this show, so we may have to pay this off, but if you look at the way Kansas City was constructed, come on now, nobody was writing home about Alex Smith and what a coup it was to sign Alex Smith. Everybody was saying you can only get so far with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is going to play it safe. Alex Smith is going to, a lot of the same narrative about Alex Smith has been thrown around about Teddy Bridgewater. And if you're looking at your football team saying, hey man, if it means we bide time for a year or two with Teddy Bridgewater, there's worse things that can happen is we're building our roster and we're building a competitive football team. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. Hopefully he has more upside than what he showed in Carolina. And guess what? With a stellar defense, we can be competitive. And eventually, as we build this thing, when we see that guy that we cannot bypass, much like Andy Reid did in Kansas City, he saw a guy that he said, this guy reminds me so much of Brett Favre, even though he had a 6-6 record or whatever in college. He was a losing quarterback. Because he reminds me so much that based upon the roster we build and what he can come in and have a chance to really be great, and he was. So I mean,
it speaks volumes to this team.
Yeah,
and,
we got
how much heart and determination that
gotta
we
pay
have.
Off. No, yeah. But you understand kind of my thought process of what I think George Payton is looking at this team going, what we could, that sleeping giant comment that he made to me is about dominating that 4 o'clock window on the, you know, whoever's got the AFC games.
Yeah, the other reason too is that, you know, for those of you who want him to, you know, go out and pick a, you know, franchise quarterback, he doesn't even know who his coach is going to be next year.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. What offense he's going to run next year? But yeah, he doesn't know.
I don't know. The more we talk about it, the more we hash it out, it just feels like a guy who came in here, 6-year deal. I'm not going to be pressured to do anything radical right from the start. I'm not going to take chances. I'm not going to go against my scouting and evaluation background.
Right.
And when it comes time for my first draft pick, if I got a guy that I have ranked exceptionally high that I think is can't miss, I'm going to take him. Even if the rank and file, everyone else out there wants me to take a quarterback. I'm sorry, folks, if Justin Fields had as high a grade as Pat Surtain, I don't even think he would have had to have had as – you made a great point earlier. Let's say Pat Surtain had a 9.6 grade and Justin Fields was a 9.3. You really think that Peyton would have passed on Fields?
Yeah, absolutely not. I think the discrepancy was so large.
Right.
The chasm was so big.
From a scout's perspective.
Yeah, from a scout's perspective, he's just like, I cannot, in good conscience,
right,
make this decision.
Right.
By the way, let's say Vic Fangio retires.
Retires?
Let's just say he's,
right.
Okay, let's just, I mean, play the game with me.
All right, I'll play the game.
He's coached in this league for 30, 40 years, whatever, and at some point, you know, everybody retires. Couldn't you see Vic running like an Italian sub shop?
Yes.
Like, he's just the owner. He's got his own, like, wherever he came from, he's got his own little sub shop.
Not a sub shop. Honestly, I can see him running a diner. Kind of like Mel.
Right.
Okay, it's a little bit of an older reference. Look it up. YouTube it, whatever. But what was the name of the show? Alice?
Alice? Yeah.
Alice. Like
Flo's Diner, right?
I think that was an offshoot.
Okay.
Okay.
But I think the name of the diner was maybe Flo.
No, Flo was the waitress.
I know.
Kiss my grits, right? I know. But I see him more in that role, running a diner, greasy spoon. You know, he's got stained apron.
Could be like
slinging hash.
It could
eggs.
Be at like an Italian eatery place. Where, you know, you could buy pizza by the slice. Well, you want 2 slices of pepperoni, right?
Right?
You heat them up,
right.
You throw them in there. Maybe some rigatoni.
Mm.
Big rigatoni.
They shove it into the sausage. Tell you what, when he was making those meatballs.
That's what I'm talking about.
That does look good. You know how I feel about meatballs.
The meatballs.
I love meatballs. All right. We'll get to your reaction. What kind of observations, takeaways, grades. Now that the Broncos offseason, the first one under George Payton is in the books. How would you rate it?
That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Guys, even more reason to support Peyton's decision to pass on Fields. If he was ranked that high, he wouldn't have fallen down to 9 or ultimately 11, which is where he went. Remember, this was a guy who, when we were talking about college football in the fall, it was widely accepted that there were two can't-miss quarterbacks in this draft. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Go back to November, you know, Halloween, when you were talking about quarterbacks coming out, it was Lawrence and Fields. Correct. And yet when it's all said and done, Zach Wilson goes ahead of him. Trey Lance goes ahead of him. He slides to 9. Broncos pass. Philadelphia's sitting there with Jalen Hurts. They pass.
We're going to have systems.
It is.
Hey, if Chicago doesn't move up, where does Fields go?
I mean, the Cowboys aren't going to take him. Chargers aren't going to take him.
Now, that's trying.
Knock on wood.
Jets aren't going to take him.
Struggling.
Maybe the Patriots do at 15 if he's still there, but.
Absolutely.
Point is that this was a guy who was the consensus in October, early November, was the consensus second best quarterback. Probably would go number 2. Instead, he dropped. So, again, folks. If George Payton isn't the guy, if George Payton isn't the answer, this franchise is screwed. 5 years is going to turn into 10 years, just like that. So I choose to look at it like, hey, I'm going to, until proven otherwise, I'm going to have some faith in this guy. I'm going to trust that this guy has put in the work, has done the evaluation, has talked to his sources around the league, and has a very clear idea about what Justin Fields is and is not. And if he chose to pass on him, then he had to have his reasons. And until proven otherwise, I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
I think that's, I mean, I think it's all fair. And you know, you bring up all the points, although there did seem to be a bit of a Justin Fields smear campaign going on. I mean, it's not, you know, it was just over the course of, you know, the pre-draft and everything. I mean, it's not like the smear campaign we've had going on for Paxton Lynch for years. I mean, it's just been not like that, but it was.
That's a smear campaign.
Yeah, it was a mini smear campaign.
I wouldn't call Justin Fields. Hey, now, wait a minute. We've established a certain level of what a smear campaign is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Justin Fields was the victim of a smear campaign.
I don't know. There were
maybe some disinformation, misinformation.
Right.
But smear?
There were a lot of people that, you know, that basically came out and, you know, were forced to apologize for whatever their opinions were because they weren't kind enough. You know, you know how things work today, right? When you step on millennials' toes, then you got to come out and apologize. Otherwise, they're curled up in the fetal position crying in their parents' basement.
Sorry.
Yeah. So,
Dexter, quit defending George Payton. He blew it with Fields. Time will tell.
and you texture.
By the way, yeah.
Have this opinion based on your exhaustive
research,
evaluation, research. You've film studied. You've reached out to contacts. You've talked. You say he blew with Fields. Okay, tell me. And I'm going to challenge this texture because there are other textures that have had kind of the same. Yeah. But I'll challenge this one in particular, but all of them. Okay, for those of you who believe George Payton blew it with Justin Fields, tell me why. RamosLot.com text line, 303-713-1043. Tell me why, based on your evaluation.
Read that one again.
How did he blow it with Justin Fields?
Read that one again.
Quit defending George Payton. He blew it with Fields. Time will tell.
So, time will tell, right? Here's the thing. We're saying give him the benefit of the doubt. Time will tell. You're saying he blew it. Bottom line is we got to let time tell. We got to see if he was in fact the guy we should have drafted. You know, I mean, he'll prove it by the way he plays, right? But you're of the opinion that he blew it, which is fine. You can be of that opinion. We're of the opinion of, hey, man, he saw other pressing things that he wanted to go after, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt to see exactly how that pans out, how this team looks. I think it's fair.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he just didn't have that high of a grade on Justin Fields. And that if he did, he would have taken him. And the last thing I want for my new general manager, who got hired based on the idea that this is a guy who's a very good evaluator of talent, puts in the work, does a thorough job to arrive at these conclusions. The last thing I want him to do is all of a sudden turn his back on that mindset and that belief and just take a flyer on a quarterback that he has ranked well below the guy that he ended up taking. Does that make any sense? You bring this guy on board because this is his supposed strength, and then you want him to
To go
disregard all that.
Right, disregard all the work that but isn't that really, to me, like that's where teams really, really fail. Like, hey everybody, I want you to give me your evaluation, really tell me what you think, right? And so everybody gives all their evaluation on who they think about, and then you just take the guy you want to take anyhow because he's a great athlete. You saw some highlight clips or, you know, whatever. And there are teams that fall victim to that. Like, now that we've done all the scouting and we've prepared all the reports and we've read everything and we've met about everything, now we're going to completely disregard our draft board and we're going to take a guy that has a far lower draft status rating than the guy that, you know, then we're going to take him at 9 as opposed to the guy that we have the highest rated on our board.
And you know what, Mark? I get, and I know what some other people say. Well, the quarterback position is so valuable, you have to take a risk there.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what? I'm telling you, if there was a track record that suggested that if you drafted these quarterbacks high up in the first round, that more often than not it would work out, sure. But for every hit, there's 6 or 7 misses. I mean, you go back over the last 20 years of quarterbacks that have gone up. What was it? We just came through a stretch where all the quarterbacks drafted between 2009
and 2016
are no longer with the team that drafted them. Yeah. Some, what, 24 quarterbacks?
I think it was 23 first-rounders, all 22 or 23, all of them, with different teams now, either out of the league or with different teams. This is from 2009, where obviously quarterbacks now, we've proven it. They can play into their 40s and play well into their 40s.
Right.
So, I mean, what does it tell you?
So you're telling, so this is the argument. Let me see if I got this straight here. You're telling me I should pass on a guy after months of research and evaluation. I should pass on the guy that has a higher rating to take a quarterback that has a much lower rating with a track record of these guys failing so in such an epic fashion that from 2009 to 2016, none of the quarterbacks taken in the first round are with the team that drafted them. That's
Yeah.
What I should go by? Tell you what, if that's the way my GM is thinking, I don't want him to be my GM.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. We got a big event coming up on Thursday. We need your help. We'll tell you why next. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, the Fan Golf Challenge. Presented by the Cobain Colorado Open, benefiting the first tee, Green Valley Ranch. So we really hope that you'll donate and contribute to what is a overall great cause. It really is. As we're raising funds for the first tee, Green Valley Ranch, helping underprivileged youth in our community learn life skills through golf. And the show that raises the most funds gets two mulligans. Not that we need the mulligans. We just like the...
I could use the mulligans.
Well, you could use the mulligans. But it's just, there's a certain prestige that goes with being the show that raises the most. And
sure,
we have the best listeners.
We were actually,
of any of the shows.
We were 2-0 last year.
Yes, we were.
We not only raised the most money, but we also won the tournament.
Correct.
So, 2-0, we'll take that. And it'd be nice to be 4-0.
Correct. By the way, our show, sponsored by our friends at Superbook. Donate now at denverfan.com/match. So we look forward to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Love the folks at Superbook.
How's your game?
My golf game?
Yeah, are you peaking in time? I don't want you to peak too early.
Yeah,
I do want you to peak. Are you peaking in time?
I am not going to practice. I've decided against practicing. I've decided against I'm just going to go out, and my only swing thought is be a solid ball striker.
Just a good ball striker. Full tin cup, just a good ball striker.
Just a good ball striker. My plan, striking balls.
By the way, do you look at the John Rahm winning the U.S. Open as a great redemption story? Remember, it was a couple weeks ago, he was blowing away the field at the Memorial tournament.
Right.
And then he was told after coming off the course on Saturday that he had tested positive for COVID, and he had to immediately withdraw from the tournament.
Right.
And, you know, he comes back, and he was very classy. I thought he was very classy about the whole thing, the way he handled it. And then he comes out 2 weeks later and wins the U.S. Open. You think that's – we always talk about the gods, you know, the sports gods.
Mm-hmm.
Positive, negative karma. Was that the golf gods smiling on John Rahm for the way he handled the whole situation?
That's the guy that went 6-under and birdied the last two holes of the U.S. Open. Good for him. Listen. You want to look at it as good karma, that's fine. That's fine. I look at it as a guy that's prepared, that's worked his butt off, that's a good, really good player. And, he's always, like in every tournament, he is steady at a consistency, wins the day. And good for him. And, you know, and it was, you know, he walked off. You could see how emotional he was about, you know, testing positive and having to leave and do all that. So, there's no question. I mean, it's just a cool, call it redemption, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it, but it's just kind of cool that that happened for him.
So this was the first full weekend where both teams that eliminated our teams were in action. Phoenix started up again. Vegas continues on with their series.
Correct.
Have we arrived at a conclusion yet? Are you rooting for those teams that knocked off our teams, or are you rooting against them?
You know, it's funny because I'm rooting for Phoenix, the Suns, because I like the way they play. I like Chris Paul, 36 years old. He's been great, just a great point guard. You know, one of the all time. I'd like to see him get a ring. I think that's cool. And I'm kind of rooting against
Vegas.
Vegas.
Why?
Because they're Vegas and they annoy me a little bit. And, you know, what we've talked about, our best chance to win a championship here in this city has been the team that's just constructed to win.
Yeah.
In the Avalanche. And so I'm a little bit annoyed. I'm more annoyed with Vegas right now because why are they struggling so much with Montreal? Montreal's not this good. There's no way this should be a 2-2 series.
There's a history. They're what are they, the Habitons?
Les Habitons?
Right. I mean, there's
the Bleu Blanc et Rouge?
Yeah. They got to be one of the original six, right?
You're kidding me. Are you just trying to get me in an O'Reilly here, or just...
Who's on the original six?
Yes, Montreal is one of the original six.
Yeah.
I mean, it pains me to say, but they're the greatest NHL franchise ever by a wide margin.
The greatest ever?
Oh, yes. They're the Yankees of hockey.
Really?
Yes.
When was the last time they won a championship?
1993 with Patrick Waugh.
Been a long time.
Been a long time for the Yankees, too. Since they won a world championship.
When was their last world championship? Was that a Jeter? Was that like 96? No, it had to be 2000 something.
Was it? Hold on. Effort in music, Benny.
Poof.
Da, 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 da. 2009. Anytime the Yankees go more than a decade without winning a World Series, that's a drought.
That is, I mean, especially as much money as they spend.
Yep.
It's a great point.
They're in a drought. So, yeah. So I'm kind of annoyed because the longer that Vegas messes around with Montreal or potentially loses to Montreal, which would be a colossal upset, the more kind of diminishes the Avs season. So I'm kind of annoyed with Vegas right now. All right, we got to bring in our program director, Raj Sharon.
I just have some exciting news for you guys, really quick. Our parent company, Bonneville International, has donated $500 in the names of Schlereth and Evans to your show for our fundraiser heading into Thursday's event.
Nice!
Green Valley Ranch.
All right!
And I definitely will not be having this conversation with other shows.
That's
they
what I was just going to say.
Only chose your show.
Yeah, I mean, I love it that our parent company... has chosen us as their favorite child.
Yes. Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they? I mean, come on.
We are the chosen
ones. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We all have our favorite children.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to say that we look, you know, we all say, oh, we love them all equally. Come on. We know that's not true. So this just proves it.
No, we love them all equally. We just like other ones better than the other ones. Like, isn't that how it works? Come on, everybody knows that.
Oh, well, thank you, Bonneville International. We appreciate that.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Good for us. Love that.
So I'm rooting for Phoenix because I genuinely like Phoenix. I'm still rooting for Vegas because if they lose, I'll be really annoyed at Vegas.
See, Vegas just annoys me a little bit. And Phoenix, I mean, how can you be mad at Phoenix? Phoenix is where you go to get a break from the winter and play a little golf, right? How can you ever be mad about Phoenix? Plus, I kind of look at Phoenix the way I used to look at Golden State. It's fun to watch them play. It's fun to watch them get excited about assists. And it's fun to watch Chris Paul be a field, a court general, if you will. So, I don't know. It's just kind of how I feel.
Okay, we're done. Have a great day, everybody. We've got Orlando and Nate Jackson coming up.
All right.
Nate in for Sandy. Bow chicka bow wow.
Bow chicka bow wow.
There you go.
Let it go, man.
Sandy, we got Orlando and Nate next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.